This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The massacre in Orlando hit many communities hard. The shooting happened at a gay club on Latin night, which led to most of the victims being queer, black, and brown folks. It also happened on the eve of the nationwide pride parades on Sunday, which turned into de facto spaces of mass mourning. Given that the shooter had Muslim background, was apparently homophobic, with a history of domestic violence, and with links to the Islamic State, the incident once more cast the Muslim community into the spotlight of having to widely condemn a condemnable act. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick tweeted a homophobic Bible verse in the aftermath of the shooting that said, "A man reaps what he sows," proving that religious fundamentalists might be united by their homophobia. My guest is Zeeshan Hameed. He is the president of the Council on Pakistan-U.S. Relations. Welcome to the program, Zeeshan.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, President Obama said on Monday that this is a case of homegrown extremism. When you hear that phrase, how do you feel?
Well, it is homegrown extremism, but the extremism has nothing to do with Islam. That's how I feel, that there are issues and challenges within the United States. This was the largest mass murder shooting. However, the shootings that happened previously were not only Muslims. There were others of different faiths and different backgrounds that did the shooting. Over here, what you see is that not only was it a person with a Muslim name and an Arabic identity or an Afghan identity, but you also see something where it was against a group of people that have been persecuted against, or there are challenges with, as you just mentioned in the opening of your show, that the governor of Texas and what he had to say about them. So there are two challenges over here. One is that it was a mass shooting, and it's being framed as something which Muslims do, quote unquote, or Muslim extremists do. And secondly, this is against a group that has traditionally been persecuted in this country because of their lifestyle.
And what's really interesting, or well, lifestyle and sexual orientation. Well, what's really interesting is that the right-wing Christian community has targeted LGBT groups through these ridiculous bathroom bills and the transphobia that we're seeing in this country, the so-called religious freedom legislation, which seems to be protecting the religious freedom only of Christian Americans and nobody else, right? So if you have many in the right wing themselves, non-Muslim, who are already targeting the LGBT community, albeit not necessarily with guns, should we be seeing the shooting that took place on in Orlando on Saturday in that sense, that this was really an act of homophobia?
Well, actually, you see, the challenge is that a religious belief is different, and being a criminal is different. This is a criminal act.
Yeah.
Now, you can have a religious belief that you do not like a certain lifestyle or you do not like a certain sexual orientation. However, that does not give you the right to go and kill anyone. You know, you might not like the act, but that does not mean that you do not like the human being. We as children of God, we as human beings, must love each other. However, that does not mean that we have a difference in ideology amongst one another, but it should not lead to us killing one another.
So what
that is the challenge.
What do you make of the fact that the Council on American Islamic Relations immediately put out a press release, of course, condemning the act, which they do every time there's a Muslim involved in any kind of violent crime, but they also called upon Muslims to immediately line up to donate blood for the survivors of the shooting. How important a gesture was that?
I think that was a very important gesture, and there were a lot of other Muslim communities, including CARE and the MDM Muslim community, that held vigils, that did blood drives, that actually there were members that broke their fast to give blood for those who are victims.
And in fact, that's a really important point to make, that even though this was something that took place on Pride weekend, it also took place during Ramadan, the holy month for Muslims.
Yes, exactly. And this is a month in which no matter who the Muslim is, we are told to pray, fast, and be very peaceful. And in this month, when we're praying and fasting, there's some of us who actually broke our fast so that we can give blood. And this shows how greatly this was condemned by the Muslim community. And this also shows on how much the Muslims want to step to the forefront and help those that are victims of these different shootings and these different terrorist attacks. And they stand with everyone, regardless of what the ideology is. We're not discussing the ideology. We're just discussing humanity. And for humanity, Muslims stand up.
Now, what about the point that that many people are sort of really thinking about, which is going forward, we're going to see increased surveillance of Muslims likely. Already there's so much surveillance. You know, Donald Trump reiterated his ridiculous and bigoted stand to ban Muslims from entering the United States. An incident like this just adds fuel to that racist fire, doesn't it?
Well, it adds fuel to all the racists out there. But in all actuality, when you really look at it, this is an incidence of somebody who was a little crazy, who was beating his wife, who was also a security person. So now,
right, he worked for the global security firm G4S.
Exactly. And so they couldn't screen him. You know, when you say that, oh, the Muslims should look within their community, well, my question is, how did that security company hire him? If this guy had this type of background, and if there were so many different challenges with this particular person, then why was he even hired by that company? Which means that even these professionals are not able to really look at a person and say, well, this guy is a terrorist, this guy's not a terrorist. I mean, you see examples of shooters in the past that had licenses to carry guns. And the fact of the matter is that it's not about Islam, quote-unquote Islamic extremism or Islam, and it's not about surveilling Muslims. It's about getting gun control, getting gun rights. You know, we have to look at that and say, hey, can anybody just go and buy a gun? How easy is it to get a gun license? Can you just go and get a rifle? And then if you're working for a security company, you know, did they vet you or did they not vet you? And I think that there were a lot of loopholes over here. You know, you just go back and you say, oh, well, Muslims did it, when we should surveil, you know, we should do surveillance on Muslims. That's not fair. That's not right. What's right is, and by the way, as a Muslim, if there is anyone that I find that is leaning towards extremism, whether it be a Muslim person or anybody else, as a citizen of this country and as a Muslim, I would call the authorities and let them know. And I think most of the Muslims would do the same thing. But just to say and stereotype that, oh, well, these are Muslims that are doing it, that's absolutely wrong.
What would you say to President Obama, who himself, you know, is casting this as an issue of homegrown extremism? I mean, of course, he's speaking up about gun violence, too, and he has spoken up about gun violence. And as a president facing a right-wing pro-NRA Congress, there's not much he can individually do without the support of Congress. But still, if you had his ear, how would you talk to him about thinking about this issue?
I would say, Mr. Obama, I think for the most part, President Obama is on the right track. He doesn't label it as Islamic extremism. It is a case of a person who was kind of crazy and who, at the last minute, made a 911 call pledging allegiance to ISIS. I think it was more a fascination than his actual link with ISIS. I think that our security forces and the U.S. government are very well equipped to trace out extremism. And if they were not able to catch this particular person, I think that it might have been a case of somebody who's just mentally ill more than an extremist.
And we mentioned this in our previous story, but a man from Indiana was caught heading to the Los Angeles Gay Pride Parade on Sunday, the day after the Orlando shooting, with numerous assault weapons, 5-gallon buckets of ammunition, and he was a white American man, and James Wesley Howell was his name. And I think the biggest difference between him and Omar Mateen was that Omar Mateen didn't get caught before he committed his act, and this man was stopped from committing his act. I mean, would you agree that basically these two men had much more in common with one another?
They have absolutely much more in common with one another, and it's just a difference in name. Right?
And I should say, he had a 5-gallon bucket with chemicals capable of forming an improvised explosive device. So sort of how the Boston Marathon was targeted, this man might have had that plan in place. Sorry, continue.
Exactly, or the Jewish man who last year killed six members of the LGBT community. These people are common in their hate, and they're common in their mental illness, but they're not common in their quote-unquote faith. And I don't see somebody becoming a Christian terrorist or a Jewish terrorist, or, you know, but there's always, Donald Trump has to point out that there's, you know, Muslim terrorists. So we have to look at the problem, and the fact of the matter is that this person was mentally ill. This person might have been inspired by ISIS, but again, is ISIS, you know, representing Islam? Absolutely not. You know, we as Muslims are appalled at the actions of ISIS, and we don't look at them as a representation of Islam at all.
So finally, what do you think needs to happen going forward? I mean, the holy month of Ramadan continues. This is a very challenging time for American Muslims, particularly with the presidential candidacy of Donald Trump. What do you think needs to happen between now and November? Can these incidents be ways in which you and others and Muslim voters can sort of get organized about defending your rights in the wake of such attacks?
Well, I think that the first thing that has to happen is that cooler heads have to prevail. I think people have to understand the difference between extremists and Muslims. And we as Muslims and as Muslims from different countries have to come together, unite, and stand up for what we really believe in. And that is peace. And that is submission to God. And this is what we have to make sure that Americans understand. There are a lot of good campaigns that are going on, like trueislam.com, like Muslims for Peace. CARE is doing a couple of campaigns. So there are Muslim voices that are rising up and that are speaking about Muslims in general and talking about how Muslims are peaceful. And there's a select group of people that call themselves Muslims that go and terrorize people and go and do extremist activities. That does not mean that all Muslims are bad, and that does not mean that the majority of Muslims are bad. Muslims are peace-loving people. They're part of the community. And you saw that with Muhammad Ali. You saw that just this past week on how great of a person we lost, an American idol that we lost. He was a Muslim. And his faith inspired him to do good acts. And people have to understand that. And we as Muslims have to make sure that we raise our voice and let people understand that Islam is about peace. It's true Islam means peace and obedience, and we are not about extremism. And the more we raise our voice, the greater impact that we would have on this country. The majority of the Americans are looking to hear that.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Azishan, for joining us today, and good luck with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest is Zeeshan Hameed. He is the president of the Council on Pakistan-U.S. Relations. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.